Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2435 with a release date of Friday, June 28th, 2024, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. An earthquake drill adds extra meaning to field day. AMSAT is shutting its email alias service, and 4-meter privileges are extended in Germany until year's end. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2435 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
So, how was your field day? We begin this week's report by visiting some amateurs in Indiana who seized the opportunity to add an earthquake awareness exercise to this important annual drill. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, takes us there.
Field day took on an expanded role as a disaster preparedness opportunity in Marion County, Indiana. Members of the Indianapolis Radio Club, W9JP, used the two-day ARRL event to raise awareness about earthquake preparedness. Indiana sits atop the New Madrid Fault Line, which is a seismic zone where earthquakes can occur. The club's field day coordinator, Jeff Hammer, N9NIC, told Newsline that the earthquake communications exercise was held in the morning before field day. Hams engaged were in the Marion County Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, as well as local Aries and Saturn partners. There was added support from RACES officer Jason Lopez, N9CRT, plus officials from the town of Speedway. Jeff told Newsline, quote, "It was a seamless operation. The setup for field day replicated the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service deploying to assist a government entity," end quote. For the earthquake exercise, specialists were called in from Aries, the Indianapolis Radio Club, and the Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints Emergency Communications. Disaster-related information was passed on VHF simplex, repeaters, and via Windlink, all using solar or battery power. Seasoned hams, as well as newbies, got involved. Although the earthquake exercise was over by the time field day began, the seismic theme stayed with everyone throughout the ARRL event. Stopping by, local visitors learned that what they were observing at field day might one day help save their lives if a disaster message had to get through. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
In Australia, a murder case that sparked one of the state of Victoria's largest missing persons searches has ended with a split verdict over the death of an amateur radio operator and his companion. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, has that story.
An Australian court has found a former pilot guilty of murder in the death of a woman who was accompanying her friend, an amateur radio operator, on a camping trip in Victoria. Greg Lynn had faced charges in the deaths of both Carol Clay, 73, and Russell Hill, VK3 Victor Zulu Papa. In the statement declaring Greg Lynn guilty of Clay's death, the court returned a verdict of not guilty in the death of the 74-year-old radio amateur, saying there was insufficient evidence to determine how he died. According to media reports, the jury deliberated for 6 days before reaching the split verdict. Greg Lynn is to be sentenced on the 19th of July and could face life in prison. According to media accounts, the parties had argued at the time because Greg Lynn had been hunting in the area. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
AMSAT is shutting its mail alias service, citing hacking as one of the reasons. Dave Parks, WB8ODF, brings us the details.
Users of AMSAT's mail alias service have been asked to migrate to different email accounts as soon as possible as AMSAT prepares for the member amenities shutdown on the 1st of August. In a note to its members, AMSAT cited past instances of hacking and email account hijacking, which has an impact on its ability to operate it in an affordable manner. AMSAT wrote, quote, "It has come to the point where the AMSAT volunteer IT staff can no longer keep up with the maintenance requirements to keep the alias mail list clean and to work with email gateways to remove blocks," end quote. To use a member's mail alias on AMSAT.org, all a sender needed to know was the ham radio call sign of their intended recipient. They did not need to know their actual email address. AMSAT believes now that, all things considered, the funds saved from the shutdown are better invested in satellite development for members. This is Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
The year's most revolutionary special event is back, and it's all about the American Revolution, which is celebrated in the U.S. on the 4th of July. Travis Lisk, N3ILS, fires the first shots for us.
The 13 Colonies special event is back on the air for its 16th year, inviting shortwave listeners, DX stations, and hams here in the States to take up the challenge of making CUSOs with operators in each of the original 13 U.S. colonies. This year, as before, the fight will not be for independence, but for as much of a clean sweep of contacts as possible. Certificates will be available regardless of how many stations are contacted between the 1st and the 7th of July. Each station will also make QSL cards available. Expect to find some fireworks in the pileups, especially for the three bonus stations, GB13COL in Great Britain, TM13COL in France, and WM3PEN in Philadelphia. Stations K2A through K2M represent the colonies, and the earliest days are expected to be the busiest. For more details, visit the website 13colonies.us. Be sure to use the numerals 1 and 3 for 13. The special event is dedicated to Tom Francis, W1TEF, who was the South Carolina state manager for K2L until he became a silent key in 2020. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
Meanwhile, a short but important special event station is marking the impact of another war on another continent in another century. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us how to contact this brief but important activation. It's all taking place for 2 hours, and it is on the 29th of July.
The Townsville Amateur Radio Club, VK4 Whiskey India Tango, VK4WIT, is helping to ensure that no one forgets the Japanese air raids over North Queensland in July of 1942 during World War II. On the first night, bombs were dropped by several aircraft, but fell into the ocean. During the second attack, the bombs landed in the bush outside town. Although there was little damage and only a few casualties reported, the town lived with the peril of having unexploded bombs in their midst. Townsville's harbour made it an important military base, and the unexploded bombs posed a threat to Allied forces making use of the harbour. Ray, VK4OIL, expects to be on the air from 0400 UTC to 0600 UTC and is looking for amateurs who want to set up portable 40-metre stations at the World War II Heritage Unumba bomb site. Operators will be working centred around 7100 kHz lower sideband. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
The ACMA is further fine-tuning the licensing process for repeaters and beacons in Australia and is looking for input, as we hear from Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
The Australian Communications and Media Authority is asking radio amateurs and accredited persons to comment on guidelines proposed for the licensing process for repeaters and beacons. The regulator has set a comment deadline of the 5th of August, stating that its goals include opening up more opportunities for repeater and beacon licenses and to have enhanced transparency with regard to coordinating frequencies. The ACMA would like to retain the practice of having applicants coordinate their frequencies with the Wireless Institute of Australia or through an accredited person. Although Australia now has a class license system for hams as of this year, beacon and repeater licenses remain unchanged. Hams may give their views directly to the ACMA through their portal or submit their feedback via the WIA. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the AH6LE repeater in Clackamas County, Oregon, on Sundays at 6 p.m. local time. There's good news for hams in Germany, who may have been enjoying part of the 4-meter band on a temporary basis. Regulators have extended the privilege through to the end of the year for Class A license holders. Operation on 4 meters requires the use of horizontally polarized antennas and no more than 25 watts ERP from a fixed station location. Transmissions may occupy a bandwidth of no more than 12 kilohertz and remote transmissions are prohibited. Use of the 4-meter band has been slowly expanding in some European countries. The German regulator began issuing temporary privileges for 4 meters in 2014. Emergency response doesn't always involve radios, and two shortwave listeners in India are proof of that. We hear about them from Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
Two shortwave listeners studying to become licensed hams in India have more than proven that they already understand the community service spirit of amateur radio. They were among the many to rush to the scene of a deadly train accident in West Bengal on Monday, the 17th of June. Local media identified them as Kajol Roy and Shekhar Debnath, two members of the West Bengal Radio Club, and their swift actions have been credited with helping save lives after a cargo train and passenger train collided in the Himalayan foothills, killing at least 10. Local villagers also responded at the scene to assist with rescue. The club secretary, Ambrash Nag Biswar, VU2JFA, said the pair had set up camp to assist the casualties and were able to transport injured passengers to area hospitals. The two have had previous experience with disaster assistance, having helped out during the Sikkim floods late last year. This is Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
Get ready for a special CW message to be sent from a historic transmitter in Sweden on 17.2 kHz. We hear more from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The historic Alexanderson alternator in Grimeton, Sweden will be back on the air, sending a message on CW on Sunday the 30th of June, which is Alexanderson Day. If you have the ability to copy 17.2 kHz, you may be able to hear the CW signals sent from the Grimeton radio station using the call sign SAQ. This was originally designed as a commercial long-wave transmitter and has long since become a World Heritage Site. It bears the name of its creator, Swede Ernst F.W. Alexanderson. The actual transmission is set to begin at 0900 UTC, following a 30-minute warm-up of the alternator. According to the Alexander Association website, hams may listen throughout the day for amateur radio station SK6SAQ, which will also be marking the occasion. Listeners around the world who cannot visit the site personally will be able to watch the transmission and celebration live on the YouTube channel of the Alexander Association, Grimeton SAQ Veteran Radio Friends. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
An award-winning documentary film by a ham in California is being considered for a TV series here in the U.S. Ralph Squilacci, KK6ITB, tells us what's next.
Levi Maya, K6LCM, is an innovator. The Californian amateur, a former STEM educator, is also an award-winning filmmaker whose documentary, Pathways to Invention, won Best Documentary Feature at the Los Angeles Independent Film Festival Awards in 2022. The film was also shown on the public broadcasting system in the U.S. Innovator that he is, Levi and his production partner, Noah Mark, have been asked to return to TV screens with aptly named The Innovators, a new TV series to be carried on American Public TV. Levi, an advocate for the maker movement, shows the stories that showcase the spirit of inventors, amateur radio operators, tinkerers, problem solvers, and so many others who live their lives outside the lines of conformity. Levi writes in a press release that, quote, "This series blends the personal touch of a travel show with the insightful exploration of invention and entrepreneurship," end quote. That kind of entrepreneurship, no doubt, includes Levi himself, who has been a ham since 2006, with commitments to the Santa Barbara Amateur Radio Club and Santa Barbara Wireless Foundation. He is a ham radio educator, whose involvement has included teaching high school and working with amateur radio on the International Space Station, or ARIS's, U.S. Education Committee. The two partners are working hard right now to bring this series to viewers' home screens. That's not just innovation, that's determination, too. This is Ralph Squilacci, KK6 ITB.
In the world of DX, listen for Christian, F4EBK, using the call DU3-F4EBK from Luzon Island, IOTA number OC042, through to early 2025. You can listen for him on 20, 15, and 10 meters, where he may be found around 0009 UTC and after 2100 UTC, QSL via F4EUO. Eric, KV1J, will be on the air as FP-KV1J from Miquelon Island, IOTA number NA032, from the 2nd to the 16th of July. He will participate in the IARU-HF World Championship taking place on the 13th and 14th of July. He expects to operate primarily SSB and FT8 with a mix of some CW, RTTY, and FT4. Listen on 80 through 6 meters, especially on 12, 10, and 6 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. If you think there's something funny about this week's final story, you're right. It's about using memes on the air. Yes, we are talking about memes, not beams. Some of Ham Radio's youngest operators are on the air through August 15th, celebrating some clever, unusual call signs and spreading the smiles as they make contact. We hear more from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Imagine logging onto the call sign DL0LOL in Germany or GBOOTY in England. How about OO0F in Belgium? These are valid call signs that young radio operators in some countries are using for the 4th annual Meme Appreciation Special event. It's mostly for fun and amusement. The young operators in Canada, who started this madness in 2022, explain the overwhelming philosophy on their website using these words, quote, "Why the heck do you do this? Boredom, mischief, and too much free time," end quote. They confess there's also a ploy of sorts to attract more young ops, who believe that people can sometimes be allowed to get silly on the air. Operators are using FT8 and SSTV in addition to SSB, and they're even activating some POTA locations. Listen on all of HF, but don't be surprised if some of these call signs show up on 2 meters, 70 centimeters, and the QO100 satellite. Visit Meme Month CA. That's Meme Month, one word, .ca for details. Remember, these memes can be a scream. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Does your amateur radio experience ever inspire a bit of poetry? Why not immortalize that incredible QSO or fantastic antenna by participating in the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge? Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. We cannot accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. And be sure to check out our previous winners. With thanks to the AMSAT News Service, Australian Communications and Media Authority, Alexander Association, Anzac War Memorial, ARRL, Amateur Radio Daily, AMSAT News Service, BBC, CQ Magazine, David Baird, K7DB, DX World, the FCC, Federal Network Agency, 425DX News, Jeff Hammer, N9NIC, Meme Month, QRZ.com, ShortwaveRadio.de, 13 Colonies Special Event, Times of India, Townsville Amateur Radio Club, Wireless Institute of Australia, YouTube, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, in Jonesboro, Arkansas, saying 7-3. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024, all rights reserved.